Most movies are made in studios with big budgets, but not these. No, these sequels and prequels are crafted on the fly. Today, you'll never see these movies.
Hello, and welcome back to Making Number Two.
Improvised pitches for sequels and prequels that shouldn't exist.
I am Marty Scanlon.
I'm Allie Gordon.
And these are movies that you're never going to see, folks, and it probably should stay that way. Today, we've got a special guest on the show. Allie's giving me a face like she hated that intro, and I don't blame her at all.
I didn't hate it. It did make me react. I don't know what came across my face.
It got a reaction.
It got a reaction, yeah.
Well, today we have a very special guest with us. We wanted to try some guest episodes where we have people who have a movie that they really like that they think could serve a good sequel up on a silver platter to us, your host masters, the Hostmaster General. Allie's not. Allie was looking at something on the floor.
Piece of crumpled up napkin.
Nice. Okay. Well, would you like to introduce our guest?
Okay. I will introduce my guest.
Our guest?
I will introduce my guest.
Okay.
My guest comes for you. Comes to you today.
She comes for you every time you turn
on. You know she brings it to you every season. Our guest wants to know why you gagging. She brings it to you every ball. She also comes from Chicago. She is an improviser
and a producer.
An improviser, a producer, an actress, an educator would correct me on my grammar, and I've known her for so long. I have a clear memory of sneaking into her room and looking into her crib when she was just a mere baby. She's my sister, Sophie Scanlon.
Please, everyone, welcome to the show. My sister, Sophie Scanlon.
Wow, it's so good to be here with my sister, Allie Gordon. And
yeah,
what's
your favorite memory of me when we were kids?
Allie, I have to say that being a baby when you were in your more formative years.
Yeah, I was 4 years older than you were.
It was really a joy to kind of watch you really come into your own.
Aww.
Really develop those fine and gross motor skills.
Yes.
Gross motor skills.
Yeah, so I think that at that point, it's just about the bond.
It really is about the bond. Okay, and I would say that Sophie and I are closer than any two people at this table. I have such a clear memory of going on vacation with Sophie and listening to story tapes in the car. She would, we were at a restaurant and we all sat down at the table. Stop laughing. We all went to the restaurant. We all sat down at the table and Sophie, your face went ashen. And we were like, yeah, white. And we were like, what happened to Sophie? And we're like, Sophie, what happened to you? And I'll never forget this because I was there. Sophie said, scared, bashoosh. And there was a big buffalo head over the table and she was scared of it.
Oh, boy.
And that's something that I remember from growing
this
up.
This joke is going to kill with two other people. And
yes,
boy,
it's
going to crush.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my other sisters.
And one of those people does not listen to podcasts. Hashtag make Sarah listen.
Hashtag,
wow.
Again, let's get all of our listeners who we don't have listening to listen. Hashtag make Sarah listen. It's kind of like the Coke advertising where it's like share a Coke with Dunkel.
Donkle.
Hashtag make Sarah listen. If you want to hashtag make your friends listen, go ahead and hashtag them with making number two. Hashtag make blank listen.
Okay, so let's get into the pitch. Sophie's going to lead this one.
Yeah, so Sophie, as you know on the show, because you've heard all the episodes that we haven't released yet.
The backlog.
On this show, we improvise sequels and prequels to movies that should not exist. So you're coming in with one today. What have you got for us?
I am coming in with one, but I do take a bit of query with your should not exist, because I do believe wholeheartedly in my movie that I'm coming at you today with.
I like
and
that.
I'm coming at it hard and fast, and
yeah.
We've
pitched a couple where I've been like, this should be a movie, so
yeah.
I think you're allowed to get
I cried last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marty
and,
did cry.
I'm not going to cry, but I'm going to say that not only is it hard and fast, but it also is sharp. It is the sharpest of them all. It is Sword and the Stone 2, Madame Mim's Revenge. And
how would you describe Madame Mim to a person who's never seen Sword and the Stone?
I just want to say I love it.
Thank you very much. And how would I describe Madame Mim if I had to use three words?
I mean, I didn't put those stipulations on you, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of went with the three words.
Like, ooh, tough call. Ugh, only three? And I'm like, again, you can say as many words as you want. And you're like, three words.
Also, again, we live by a police station, so I'm sorry for the siren that you hear in the background right now. It's not the cops coming to get you. So yeah, tell us about Madame Mim for the people who might not have seen Sword in the Stone.
I would like to describe Madame Mim as... I want you to think visually of a giant sheep who's about to be sheared and is not happy about it. I want you to think just wool and matted and loud and...
And what is her profession?
She's a witch.
Okay. she is, in fact, a witch.
So maybe kind of a sorceress.
Okay.
She lives in a cabin, is that right?
She lives in a cabin, but she's also a shapeshifter and a liar. I never realized
she's a shapeshifter, a liar. If I recall, I do recall, like, her kind of being horny. I don't mean that, like, horny for her. I mean, like, her energy was one of, like, wasn't she trying to, like, hook up with people all the time, or she was kissing a lot? There's no kissing.
No. Not the kids' version.
Even doesn't she, like, dress up like a sexy little
witch?
She
makes herself sexy once to try to get the wart.
Mm-hmm. And the wart, of course, becomes King Arthur by the end.
You treated me like I was crazy, but that absolutely
happens.
Well,
she's not horny. She just goes, I could be a lady with nice little titties. She says that.
See, I knew she said that. Like when Marty, by the way, I'm calling Marty out. Marty misremembered the three fairies from Sleeping Beauty.
Fauna, and Merryweather.
He remembered one of them being uber hot. And I was like, Marty, I don't think so. They're all kind of like old women.
Like, no, there's the two old ladies and the really hot one.
And then we'd like look at me and I was like, which one? You know what I think? I think you're misremembering Matt and Mim when she was young and horny.
She wasn't young and horny ever. She just makes her, she shapeshifts into a horny lady for a second.
Right.
Okay.
Well anyway, so in the movie, Madame Mim basically serves as sort of like a person that the wart, what's his real name?
Arthur.
King Arthur?
Yeah.
Prince Arthur.
Arthur.
The wart. I'm gonna keep calling him the wart. Yeah. Because in the movie they all call him the wart. I say, let the wart try. Yes, give the boy a chance. So he has to sort of overcome this obstacle of defeating the Madame Mim with the help of Merlin and his owl Archimedes.
Yes.
Is that right?
That would be about right. And
when does the owl get hot?
There are several points that in the movie Sword in the Stone that I would like to bring into the sequel, Madame Mim's Revenge.
Okay.
But I don't want this to be kind of a Maleficent vibe where we just see the story from Mim's perspective. Right. I want us to have Arthur, because we see Arthur as a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
A young wart. And I want to see him closer to his late teen years. And I want Mim to constantly be in the background. I'm thinking jump scare for this movie because the original jump scare, if you'll remember, in Sword in the Stone, I still cannot think about this moment to this day without being very afraid, is when Mim is behind a door and someone opens the door.
Hidden behind her hair.
See?
Oh, yeah.
This, and this is why I have issues. She's hidden behind her hair and she parts it.
Yep.
Yeah, and she's got a scary face.
Her parts that
there.
Gray sheep hair. And she
goes, it's like a Party City ass wig.
Yeah. And she goes,
boo.
And
she has a pig's nose at that point with like warts all over it.
Yeah. And I can't.
Yeah.
Full stop
cannot. Yeah, it's scary. I like that. I like leaning into the fact that this could be like horror.
Okay. Now my question is, and I also do like that it is a true sequel. It is not a retelling like a Wicked. Right. It really takes place later in the future.
Now, is this a live action film or is this an animated film?
Oh, it's a great question. I think to keep the integrity, we go animated.
I agree with that.
Okay.
That's my gut reaction.
Okay.
The other thing is, I don't remember what happens to Madame Mim. Like, how do we justify that she's back?
I don't think she gets killed.
Doesn't she get stabbed when she becomes
the dragon?
Oh, yeah,
she becomes a dragon.
Yeah, that's what I remembered also.
And she, like, bleeds black blood or something like
that. Wow. Yeah. Say that three times fast. Madame Mim bleeds black blood.
Oh, Madame Mim. All right. Yeah. Full stop. And...
Yeah, that's true. So let's say we open on a pool of black, like a pool of black blood or a pool of black, you know, matter
Dragon
of some
matter.
Kind. And you hear like the echoes on the breeze of a song that's like, but it's only skin deep for Zimzabalimbe.
Yeah.
And slowly from out of this black mire, a form starts to create itself. Like, I'm an ugly old witch. And like, every time she says ugly old witch, the hands come out of this black fluid and they're like black hands, like ugly old witch, like oil creature. And then she pulls herself out of the thing. The rubber, somebody, mad. And it keeps on going, mad. And then the title card.
Mad Max.
Yes.
Oh, you.
Fury.
title card, Madame Mim.
Madame Mim. And I want, when the title card comes up, I want that mad. I want it.
Like
I want our
deep echo.
Yeah, I want it to transition kind of like a water fade almost into Wart and his, you know,
King Wart.
Yeah.
And his queen, you know, having a beautiful afternoon tea, and you just hear the echo of Mim on the breeze, and like something is askew, like the coloring is off, like we have the tables are green, or like the walls are something, like something, we know something is wrong.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I really, really like that a lot.
Yeah. I almost want the movie to be from Mim's perspective, but we don't see her very much. She's almost like this kind of ethereal.
I like the way that, or like we see them through mirrors because that's through her eyes where she's spying through a mirror. That's spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
So I like that.
So we have Mim sort of terrorizing these this wart.
Who's the guy who directed Ex Machina and like Annihilation?
I could have told you till you asked me that.
Alex Garland. I love to ask a question and answer my own question. I picture him directing this movie, and I know he only does live action, but I think this is his directorial debut.
His first foray into animated features. Yeah.
Because I think that this, what you're talking about, this like slow-paced horror, is like right up his alley.
Yeah.
And I think that we could pitch this to him, and he would absolutely do it. Sorry, is the title, I just want to ask this, is the title Madame Mim's Revenge, or is it Madame Mim?
I kind of like Madame Mim.
I think Mad Madame Mim.
Can I even pitch another? Yeah. Madame Mim.
Mad Madame Mim.
Yeah.
Well, why not get three in there then? Madame Mim.
Because it doesn't, that's not how the poem flows. It's Madame Mim.
But in the thing, she goes Mad. That's four. Madame Mim.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Madame Mim.
If you have an idea of how many times this should be mad in the title, go ahead and tweet at us at making number two.
Hashtag mad. Just go ahead and hashtag with however many mads you think. Yeah.
We'll tally the votes for which one gets the most mads. And the prize is you get to never have to listen to this podcast ever again. You're free.
Finally.
All right,
wait, now it's bothering me that I don't remember how Mim's story ends.
I think she just does get stabbed.
I really,
she lies about the dragon. She's like, don't worry, no dragons. Right. And you're like, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You're going to turn into a dragon. Yeah. We know this about you.
But then I what I remember, it's been a very long time since I've seen this, is that they stab the dragon and then they go back and they're like, we figured it out. And they're like, okay, great.
Right.
And that's it. Then he pulls the sword out of stone and then they're like, oh, our king.
That was it. And is there any...
I think they said that.
Is there any possibility that all of Merlin's enchanted dishes have become kind of corrupted by Mim, and she's keeping them prisoner?
Absolutely there is. Yeah, there's
Marty
a broom.
Made a face, and I was asking what's wrong.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I want to hit back on this point. But Madame Mim, if you remember, they have a wizard duel. She turns into a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. She breaks her own rules, and he has the upper hand, but... Merlin outsmarts her by transporting into a germ and infecting her.
Oh,
and
my
she gets
God.
Super sick.
Oh my God, she does get sick.
She gets like swine flu, basically.
That's insanely fucked up.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
I remember her being sick. Yeah. And she's like laying in the bed with the covers up to her neck.
Yeah, and she's going, I hate sunshine!
Oh,
directed by Alex Garland.
Oh,
Sunshine.
Oh, wow. See, there you go.
He's, you know,
like,
what?
I hate the movie Sunshine.
I have no idea if Alex Garland directed Sunshine, but I think he did. Okay, so wait, this is great. So instead of that at the beginning, instead of her coming out of a black ink, I think it just has to be like a very far, kind of like The Witch, like a push in slow on the cabin that she's living in.
Yeah.
And you hear like, I hate sunshine.
Oh,
I hate sunshine. And then the door like slowly opens and she's still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
She's like really sick.
Yeah.
I just realized how much this is like Adelaide from Over the Garden Wall.
Which, guys, no jokes though. If you haven't watched Over the Garden Wall, do yourself a favor and go watch Over the Garden Wall for one of the most delightful television experiences you'll probably ever have.
Mm-hmm. Although Over the Garden Wall clearly has a lot of influences, I like, now that I'm thinking about this movie in particular, like it does feel very like Over the Garden Wall with like your protagonist turning into like little animals and like, you know, doing shit.
Right.
But anyway, so she hates sunshine, and then it's like a poof, like a hand on the window.
Yeah.
That opens the window, and it's like Madame Mim.
Yeah.
And her nails are yellow.
Oh,
ooh,
yeah.
Cut her nails, and
Yeah, that's very good. So we got to kind of like fast forward to the middle of the movie a little bit. So if she's slowly trying to like terrorize him, I think it's that the king has this stuff. What does she want?
Does she want to make him sick?
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love
so
that.
So she's not looking to heal. She's just looking to infect everybody else.
Exactly.
Cool. She's going to bring the king down. She's going to make him sick.
I know some people like that.
Wow.
So she's trying to make everyone sick. So it's just her basically, like, in these different set pieces trying to destroy the life of the wart.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even want to be the queen. She just wants to bring down the empire.
Right. And I think she uses different techniques. She tries to... This is getting very dark. She tries to poison their water. Mm-hmm. She tries to sell the wife. She, you know, disguises herself as a market seller.
Yeah.
She tries to... a la the witch, turns up all hot and horny, like a young woman, and lures someone into whatever trap and kills them. Yeah. Remember that part in The Witch?
Yeah.
The Vavitch.
The Vavitch. With Vavitch. Black Philip, the goat.
Yes.
He and becomes a hot woman for 1 second.
And I want those enchanted dishes. I want the broom all to have... You know, I feel like there needs to be a flashback of Merlin, like, coming over and trying to make some peace or something and saying,
that's
like,
very good.
Being like, oh, you know, I'll give you all these things. Maybe you can clean up your place. You can clean up your cabin. But he never takes the enchantments off of them. So she almost, exorcist style, like, gets her influence onto these enchanted dishes.
That's very poltergeist.
And they become kind of almost an army of knives and, like, these little things who are going around the kingdom trying to cut people's mouths and poison sugar. And the little sugar tin who keeps... you're going to lose the integrity in a podcast, but he keeps knocking on his little...
Yeah, his little hat.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
A little chubby sugar.
I know that we want this to be animated, but I kind of think in the vein of Maleficent, I think this kind of would be effective as a live-action film.
Okay. Now that I'm hearing all the images.
So who's our Mim?
Of course, who's Madden Mim?
Who's Mim? Wow.
I know Sophie's answer. Are we all going to say our answer at the same time?
Oh, what's my answer?
Sophie's answer is Laurie Metcalf.
A great answer. Love that answer. I was going to say Margot Martindale.
Who's Margot Martindale?
Margot Martindale is amazing.
So who is she?
You gotta Google her. She's in so many things that it would be silly to, like, list the things she's in. She's in
August Osage County. She played the Rondi Reed role in August Osage County.
Ooh, Rondi Reed would also be good.
Rondi Reed would be an amazing Madam Mim.
Okay.
It's finally time for her to be in films.
Finally.
I do like Laurie Metcalf.
I was like, Laurie Metcalf, it was finally her time to be in film. And now we're all like, where's Laurie Metcalf been all this time? And it's like, waiting.
Been like... killing the game since day one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when people... I hate when people write articles like, why haven't we been casting her? It's like, I don't know. That's not my question to answer.
Yeah.
You cast her. I'm nobody.
I could even go with... She might be a little young, but I could even go with Anissa Nash for this one.
Wow.
If we wanted to do that and, like, make her...
You don't know who Anissa Nash is?
No.
Look up Anissa Nash.
I think you're going to know her once you see her face.
How do I spell her name?
N-I-C-E-Y-N-A-S-H? Yeah. And she's good. She's very funny, but she's also a very good dramatic actress.
All right,
yeah.
So we got a lot of people. How about the wart who plays King Arthur?
How old is he now?
I think he's probably... How long has she been sick?
Yeah.
Because how old is he in the movie? 13?
13.
So I think he's 25. I think it's been 12 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's 21. He's, like, of age.
Okay.
Okay.
We need someone young.
Who's young and hip and hot right now? Who's so hot right now?
Who's hot right now?
If
you have an idea of who's hot right now,
hashtag who's hot right now.
It's funny, I, like, don't have any idea.
That kid from Call Me By Your Name everybody loves.
Oh, Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He's got a kingly energy.
Yeah, he does.
That.
He has, like, kind of a young king.
What about the young guy in Shameless who plays Ian?
Oh, don't know his name, but I 100% know who you're talking about.
I've never seen it, so I'll agree with you.
Okay.
And then who plays Merlin? Who plays
William H. Macy.
Oh, my God. Absolutely, though.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It was a joke, but I'm 100% on board.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. I want to go back to Merlin tried to make amends.
I feel like we can really work with, because if we're talking about a 12-year time span,
yeah.
I like the idea of going back
in time.
As she's been... thinking about how she's going to destroy this kingdom all this time, going back in time. Maybe Merlin came back to try and make amends. Maybe the wart tried to come. Like, maybe her roof is caving in. That's one of the... We come in at the top shot, and we come in through, like, the straw roof.
Yeah, like
roof.
The thatched, broken through, roof.
Yeah, like, maybe wart tries to come do that. Like, all those little squirrels, mm-hmm. they come and they try to bring her things, and I don't know, I think...
So is it like she wants to stay sick? Because, like, she's a magician. She could just...
I thought it wasn't that she wanted to stay sick, it's that she wanted to get other people sick.
Yeah, but is it like magic? It's basically kind of comes down to the argument, and which turns it into an Alex Garland film of, can science cure sickness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is...
See, Alex Garland,
or, like, can magic dispel science? And I think the answer in this film is no. Like, no magic can change your history, can change your life.
I like that.
No Magic Can Change Your History is a very good poster.
That is good.
So, okay, now this is even more Alex Garland-y. What if it's that people initially appear sick, and then they just, like, treat the sickness, because they're like, oops, he has a cold, and then they get better, but they keep getting worse, because she, like, fundamentally changed, like, their insides.
Yeah.
So it's like a really bad it's antibiotic.
Like yeah, it's like wasting yeah. disease, but they call it, like, Mims disease.
But,
yeah.
So here's what I want to know. Is it really just truly a revenge film? She has no redemption arc. She's just the villain of the piece. And it's like a horror movie. Okay. Is there a way to reverse it? Because almost every horror movie does have a hero who, even if everybody else dies, they survive. Like, mm-hmm. almost no horror movies end with the yeah. villain just wins. You know what I mean? End right. of movie.
Yeah.
There's almost always, like, a survivor.
I think there's a DNA strain in Archimedes the Owl.
Yeah, see? That's what it is. Yeah.
And that treats the Mad Madam Mim.
Mm-hmm.
Or she hates sunshine, yeah. so sunshine. I mean, like, the owl thing is cool, but, like, she hates sunshine, so she hates sun.
Oh, my God. Take five?
She hates sunshine. So what if there's some element of sunshine involved
uh-huh.
in curing this disease?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is.
Or the reason she hates sunshine is because her sickness multiplies when she's in the sun, which is why she had to stay inside the house. So an antidote for other people is that they've been out and about bopping around, and that's why they keep getting sick. And so it's like that they have to, like, lock themselves away.
Ooh.
This is scary. This is like my scary end of the movie. Yeah, like
quarantine.
Yeah. Right. So it's like they're all going to stay healthy so long as they stay indoors. But now they're cursed to the same problem that Madam Mim had, which is that she can't leave. They have the Madam Mim disease. I hate sunshine. So it's all of them just like, it's like the, what's it called? The Hours? Not The Hours. The other Nicole Kidman movie. She's sitting there. She's shutting the blinds. The Others. The Others. Oh, my God. That's the other Nicole right. Kidman movie. It's just the Other Nicole Kidman movie. She's, like, running around, shutting the blinds, and, like, she can't be in the sunlight. Like yeah, that.
But they're actually dead.
Mm.
I know that, because I've seen the movie. But what I'm just saying is they're not allowed to be in the sunlight because they have Madam Mim's disease.
Yeah.
Right. And is that what she's wanted this whole time, for the kingdom to be empty of everyone but her?
Yes.
So then, finally, when everyone is back, our last shot is her opening the door, finally.
Oh my God.
What if we never see her interacting with other people in the movie, and we just keep going back to her thinking about these memories? Yeah, we see, like,
footprints of her work.
Yeah, I love
work.
That.
Yeah.
And the last shot
is her stepping out in the sun, just
yes!
bathing her.
Ooh. And she looks hot, and she's Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah. And she's Niecy Nash with lipstick on.
Oh my God.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
And she looks right at the camera and says, I love sunshine. And it goes, yeah. What you want? You know, to
yeah.
be hard.
I was
going to
say walking on sunshine instead.
Oh, walking on sunshine is very yeah. good. I'm walking yeah. on sunshine.
Or she looks right, or it bathes her, and then instead of her hair being parted, she kind of, like, walks through the beams of sunlight, and she goes, boo.
Yeah, that's great. And then it goes, I'm walking on sunshine. Yeah.
Oh.
That's great. I love the like, twist of, like, it's not that she wanted to kill everybody, which is what, of course, everybody thinks. It's that she right. just wanted them all to have her fate, which was to be stuck inside and to hate sunshine.
Right, yeah. It's only skin deep.
And it's, like, even King Arthur being, like, I hate sunshine. And you know what? You know Timothée Chalamet is going to make a meal out of that line.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Right to the box office.
Straight to the box office.
Now, this one is definitely a big blockbuster hit. Yeah. I think that we could sell this movie.
$600 billion.
Yeah, I'm thinking $600 mm-hmm. billion worldwide.
Which is crazy because the budget was only $9.
Right. It's a $9 budget.
Great.
Cool.
Love
well,
that.
That sounds great. Well, what's it rated, Sophie?
Oh, I think we want to do a PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go straight into R because I think more of the horror will come from the suspense of what you don't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if we're, like, working towards this climax the whole time of how is Mim going to come out, and it reverses what it's supposed to do. Like, when is Mim going to come out and get everybody? Instead, everyone retreats back inside, and then the event is that she comes out. And so the end isn't scary, but it is suspenseful.
We're having the singularity above us right now.
Yes. In the form of air traffic.
This movie, or at least what we're saying about it, reminds me of Session 9.
Ooh,
Do you know what I mean?
Love Session 9.
In that it's like, you keep waiting for this thing to come out and kill them, and you, like, slowly discover it's because, like, they themselves have gone crazy. And so, like, it's like, they've poisoned their own well, they don't have to find the culprit, like, they are the culprit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very good.
And also, like, the flashbacks of, like, listening to the tapes, it's like her, like, the flashbacks of, like, Madam Mim, like, planting the seeds as to, like, how they will unravel themselves.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is a great movie. I'm super into it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm into it, too.
It ends with them being like,
I live in the weak and the wounded.
Yeah.
Wart.
I love that we've taken what? Two movies who I think most people haven't seen, Sword in the Stone and Session 9, mm-hmm. and just really had a joke hinge upon their understanding of both.
Well, hey, thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this, that's great. If you haven't, we're not surprised.
This is good. Thank you for listening to the world's most self-deprecating podcast. It's Making Number Two.
Sophie, where can people find you if they want to see any of your stuff or hear any of your stuff?
If they want to get that sweet content that I am
that you're known for?
I am known for. They can find me on Instagram at SophieScan.
What about live?
Live, you can catch me Sunday nights at the IO Theater in Chicago performing with the team Lazy Eight. That is on Sunday nights. Or you can check on the Instagram at recital_improv to check out a dance and improv show that I produce at the same theater, IO Chicago.
Nice.
Amazing. Something we always like to do in our episodes is end them. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.